This is Akashvani. In the program Insights, now we bring you a discussion on integrating artificial intelligence in India's judiciary and law enforcement. The participants are Dr. Pawan Duggal, expert on artificial intelligence law, and Niharika Bhuvania, anchor.
Conversations around AI are omnipresent and, of course, at the center stage now. With regards to that, today we deconstruct how integrating AI in India's judiciary and law enforcement systems is going to mark a transformative shift. I am Niharika with you, your anchor for Insights today, and let me welcome our expert, Dr. Pawan Duggal, Supreme Court advocate and expert on AI law. Good evening, Dr. Pawan. Thank you so much for joining us in the studios of Akashvani.
Thanks.
Let's begin with the first question of accessibility and making law accessible to all. So when we talk of integrating AI with India's judicial system, enhancing enforceability, efficiency, and making it accessible are the main aspects that we talk about. So how is integrating AI with India's judicial system going to ensure that it reaches everybody?
India is not just the largest democracy in the world, but also is the most populous nation in the world. Consequently, the quantum of cases that we get in the legal processes in India are phenomenal and are pretty much unheard of. On top of it is the fact that India is a very litigious society. People like to litigate a lot in India. This is one primary reason why we have been seeing there's a massive arrears of cases. Also, there's lack of appropriate numbers of judges across the country because our population ratio vis-a-vis the judge ratio is not what it should be. And consequently, we are beginning to start seeing some massive arrears of cases all these years. In order to assist the Indian judiciary to overcome and address these challenges, artificial intelligence has now emerged as one of the most significant parameters on the horizon. Well, AI has been with us for the last many decades, but from 1956 when artificial intelligence was introduced till now, almost it was mix and match game. Why? There were some artificial intelligence winters where less activity took place. Then there were artificial intelligence summers where more activity took place. But ever since generative artificial intelligence has arrived with the advent of ChatGPT on 30th of November 2022, it's been a different ballgame altogether. And now, extensively, various models are being developed on the basis of available proprietary and open source AI algorithms. Recently, China has introduced a new open source algorithm by the name of DeepSeek. So we are seeing a lot of buzz of activity. Now, I see a massive impact of AI on judiciary and on the administration of justice.
I think those were some great insights to begin with, you know, and especially generative AI and ChatGPT have made everything across domains so much simpler. So let's talk about the areas of cases that are in Indian courts. Could AI in that respect act as a facilitator of fast-tracking pending cases and reducing backlogs?
Absolutely. AI comes like boon for as far as humanity is concerned in the context of disposal of cases. Why? Because through artificial intelligence, we would be in a position to go ahead and club various kinds of cases in different categories. Also because artificial intelligence right now is so substantially advanced that it can glean through all the contents of all the cases and then try to find out the common rules or the common questions of law and then club these cases together so that these bunch of cases decided together can actually lead to a more disposal of cases. So that's one big area. Another big area is low-hanging fruits can be very quickly addressed using artificial intelligence. For example, in India, traffic challans is rampant. Right now, traffic challans are almost automated because there are cameras which are clicking your car should you be crossing a red light, and automatically a challan is generated and monies are deducted. But then ultimately, a lot of these challans land up going to courts as well. That also requires human time, energy, effort of a human judge. Now, if these kind of small matters can be done by artificial intelligence, then by one stroke, we can go ahead and, shall I say, remove or completely minimize the kind of pendency in traffic challan cases. Similarly, in other complicated cases as well, AI can help us identify what are the core common principles or common issues involved in cases. And if the judiciary can give judgments on the common issues, then it's far more easier to go ahead and give specific judgments in specific cases as well. So I see this as a massive catalyst as far as the Indian judicial ecosystem is concerned, in terms of harnessing its positive capabilities and in terms of ensuring that we can use the positives of AI to ensure the maximum good of the maximum number.
So we'll get to the negative capabilities a little later. Of course, there are downsides as well. But how AI is trained on patterns and AI is trained on commonalities. In that respect, can it also predict crime and can it also help prevent it?
Well, when you talk to artificial intelligence today, it says, I'm not an astrologer and I cannot predict. Because it doesn't have the capacity to predict the future, because the future is very, very unpredictable. It's very uncertain and it's dependent on various factors. However, having said that, artificial intelligence today has the capability to identify broad trends that are likely to emerge on the basis of the big data sets that are fed in the AI algorithms. So if we are able to feed all the data pertaining to, say, the existing crimes in the country or the cyber crimes in the country, it can quickly glean through that, analyze it, and thereafter come up with broad predictions of what broad trends it is beginning to see on the horizon. And to a large extent, I've been seeing that the broad trends that AI is predicting based on big data sets is relatively accurate. Of course, there'll be some minor aberrations here or there, but these broad trends can definitely help us be prepared more for the future, help us identify the specific challenges that the new projected trends are likely to throw up, and then come up with our own customized approaches on how we can deal with these respective challenges. And more so in the context of cybercrime, AI crime has now emerged, which is a new category under cybercrimes, where artificial intelligence is being used either for doing a crime or for assisting a crime in cyberspace. And now AI is itself doing a crime. And if you go to the dark net, there's now a new paradigm. It's called cybercrime as a service powered by artificial intelligence. So humans are now no longer doing actual criminal activity in cyberspace. It's artificial intelligence which is doing the crimes. So in a scenario like this, we'll have to be mindful of both the positive and the negative ramifications of AI. But AI can be used for the purposes of preventing potential cybercrime and criminal activities and for the purposes of sensitizing users about the potential pitfalls that are likely to be facing them as they move forward in their daily digital lives.
That does bring me to a thought on the challenges that AI and judiciary could have together, you know, for example, data security and e-governance. So do you think there are some ways we can deal with these challenges and ensure that we have smooth sailing as far as implementing AI and judiciary is concerned?
Well, data security or cyber security and electronic governance are two thrust areas in the context of the intersection between AI and judiciary. There's a normal presumption that artificial intelligence, I'm using it, it's like a magical wand, and therefore it's bound to be secure. However, that's not necessarily the truth. The truth is that artificial intelligence algorithms can be breached in terms of the cyber security. Cyber criminals are now coming up with new mechanisms to breach the security of AI. So when we are using AI in the context of the judicial ecosystem, we will have to be mindful of two important things. Number one, that the cybersecurity of AI in the judicial system should not be compromised or should not be breached. Number two, through AI, the cybersecurity of judicial data that's resident on judicial servers and computer resources of Indian judiciary ought not to be compromised. Why? Because if that's going to happen, that could have a huge kind of a blow upon the credibility of the institution. More importantly, it can erode the confidence of people at large. Before we start going whole hog in terms of implementing AI in judiciary, we must quickly work on the cyber security ramifications to make them more secure. This assumes more significance in India, given the fact that in India, we don't have a law on artificial intelligence yet. We also do not have a law on cyber security yet. So therefore, as judiciary adopts AI, it'll have to proactively work in the direction of protecting and preserving the cybersecurity of AI ecosystem, stakeholders and the algorithms. That's one component of the issue. The second component is electronic governance. Artificial intelligence can become a phenomenal electronic governance tool in the hands of the judiciary to go ahead and provide for more expeditious disposal of cases and more efficient administration of justice. We're not saying please delegate judicial functions to AI. We're just saying use AI as a force multiplier in the sense that you can actually do all those routine, small, mundane works which consume a lot of time of judges that can be relegated to AI with human supervision so that at least there is some control, and then use this as an electronic governance ecosystem tool. When I look at the Indian ecosystem, when I look at the Indian nation, the Indian Prime Minister led by Shri Narendra Modi, he's got a fantastic vision on AI, and he is actually visioning AI to be a catalyst for the growth of Indian economy and for delivering of electronic governance services. I see if we can actually reproduce the same vision and model in the context of Indian judiciary and make AI as e-governance tool, where you can actually have justice as a service available to people at the convenience of their homes using artificial intelligence. That's going to be a massive step forward in terms of not just providing effective remedy to affected persons, but more significantly, destroying the norm of tariq pe tariq, the paradigm that in Indian judiciary, it's only just adjournments that rule the day. I think there's a change of mindset that's also required.
Absolutely. And it's more about having AI as an accessory to what is already happening in the judicial system. So speaking of that, let's also quickly talk about the e-courts project, which has been in motion for quite a while. And phase three is all set to come in, which is going to focus on AI. So could you just quickly talk to us about what the project is and how does it seek to modernize judicial functions through AI?
The e-court project is a remarkable revolutionary project in the Indian context, which is aimed to modernize the judiciary and digitize it in accordance with the requirements of the times. So we've had two phases earlier. The new phase that's now being postulated and envisaged, I believe, is potentially one of the most significant phases of the e-courts project. Why? Because it's in this project phase that we are specifically looking at deployment of AI for a variety of functions, not just for the judiciary, but also for law enforcement agencies. Already the judiciary has become substantially tech savvy in the country. Almost all high courts and judicial courts in the country are using video conferencing as a hearing methodology. But now, with more deployment of AI for case analysis, for translation of judgments, for the purposes of giving summaries, for the purposes of doing research, and for the purposes of clubbing different matters, I see a lot of huge potential. So I expect that by the end of third phase of the e-court project, we will see some remarkable transformation of the e-court projects. Actually, the Indian judiciary is doing quite a lot of phenomenal work in terms of digitization. It just is that because we don't get to see that on a daily basis, we tend to have a one mindset that the judicial approach or the judicial process is what we see in Hindi films. The reality is that the Indian judiciary is far more tech savvy. And now with artificial intelligence coming in, it's aiming to transform large number of routine mundane functions. For example, when I look at the Supreme Court ESCR website, the way they've gone ahead and already transcribed or translated more than 30,000 judgments of the Supreme Court, high courts have done some couple of thousands of cases judgments, all using AI, with now AI being used for the purposes of creating summaries, for the purposes of appropriate, shall I say, clubbing of matters. It's a different ballgame. But then this third phase is not just only about AI. It's also about emerging technologies. It's about using blockchain in the Indian judicial ecosystem for more efficiency, for more transparency, and for more reliability. So I expect that by the time the third phase of the e-courts project actually finishes, we will see a very transformed phase of Indian judiciary, and we'll see justice far more accessible and amenable to the common man as the common man is envisaging.
In fact, I'm glad you brought in the point of translation. So the primary language of most court proceedings is primarily English. But we also do have non-English speakers in the country and litigants who belong to a non-English background. So can AI also assist in that matter and make the judiciary more accessible to them? And could it also, for example, help with live translation of proceedings?
Absolutely. AI can have unlimited and unboundable kind of applications. The reality is, already the Indian Minister of IT, Shri Ashwini Vaishnav, has announced that India has started working on its foundational model. And that said foundational model will be ready by the next 10 months. Once India comes up with its foundational model, that model can be used for a variety of purposes, including translation of Indian languages. But now with the use of AI, we will ultimately also be not just promulgating more respect for the Indian languages, but also more penetration. With Bhashini project that's currently being done at the Ministry of Electronics and Information Technology, and when I see that work with the work that's been happening in e-court projects, I see there are endless number of new options and new possibilities that are beginning to arise.
Thank you so much, Dr. Pawan, for visiting the studios today and for sharing your thoughts on AI and the Indian judiciary.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure talking with you.
You are listening to a discussion on integrating artificial intelligence in India's judiciary and law enforcement. The participants were Dr. Pawan Duggal, expert on artificial intelligence law, and Niharika Bhuvania, anchor. This program was produced and presented by the New Services Division of Akashvani.